Welcome back, everyone. Today is Tuesday, November the 7th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good review on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. Nothing less than 5 stars. Absolutely nothing less.
If for some reason you have an app named Spotify, leave reviews there
Leave
too.
Leave a review on that too. I don't know how we got on that platform.
That's an app, but leave a review there.
Yeah, just write out a nice review and just mail it to us. P.O. Box Clearview Today. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Deep, deep, deep theological truths in a verse like that. And I think it's just that practical thing of recognizing that we really don't know what we should pray for. You know what I mean? Like, the things that I just desire on the surface are not the things that are going to bring about God's true purpose in my life, you know? And it could be that, it could be the case that they can help, but like the fame and the accolades and the recognition from other people that I truly desire in life is not ultimately what God is calling me to pray for.
Yeah. And doesn't it point to God's goodness that we struggle to pray and the God that we are praying to helps us to have a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, I see that you're struggling. I know that you're struggling. I know that it's going to be difficult for you. So I'm going to help you know what to pray. And when you can't, I'm going to intercede for you anyway.
Right. The Holy Spirit making intercessions with us.
Yeah.
I think that's such a testament to his character, like you said.
Yeah. The goodness of God. Speaking of goodness, mine has run out.
What?
It's time for the grapevine.
No! Dude.
Welcome to the Gripevine, everybody.
Welcome to the Gripevine.
This gripe is ripe, so buckle in, because here we go.
What could possibly be bothering you on a morning such
as this?
Here's
what really grinds my gears.
I don't want this.
Here's what really
feathers.
Chaps my lips.
Okay.
What really ruffles my hair.
He's cheesed and he's chuffed.
I am. So when you are working, like when you're hustling, when you're getting stuff done, knocking stuff out, accomplishing. We love that. Sometimes you just get lunch. Like, you just order lunch, DoorDash, delivery, whatever. You get lunch and it's brought here and you eat. Because there's tasks. You got to get them done. You're moving, you're hustling. Great. I love that. And sometimes there's leftovers.
Oh, I already know what you're going. I already know.
We share an office.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There are 6 to 8 of us in and out of an office.
Could this be
together?
Pizza related.
I promise you it is.
I knew it. Yep.
So I have no problem with people eating in the office.
Right.
I eat in the office. Yeah, I also have no problem with Domino's pizza.
It's delicious.
It is delicious.
I would say it's some of the best pizza you can get.
I agree. My problem is when people get Domino's pizza, eat the pizza, and either leave an empty pizza box in the office so that the grease, garlic, oiled cardboard wafts into the air of the office. We close it up for the night, come in the next morning, and wow, that's not the air freshener that I wanted. Or, and this happens probably more often, is that actual pizza is left in the office. So you walk in the room and you feel like you have been punched by Mario the Plumber.
Why Mario?
Because he's pizza, Italian.
So first and foremost, if Mario is punching you, that's a bad place to be. That's a bad way to start your morning. Here we go. Bam. Domino's is stinky.
It is stinky pizza.
It's
good pizza. It's delicious. And if everyone's eating it, no problem.
Yeah.
Then what you do, if you're a polite person, is you take the pizza and you close it up and you maybe take the pizza and put it away. Or maybe you put it in a container, like you put it in a Ziploc bag or you put it in a Tupperware container.
You go stick it in the fridge, in the kitchen, somewhere that's not the office.
No
problem. That's not what we do here at Clearview. That's not what we do.
And that's my gripe.
No, welcome to the gripe. Because I have walked into the office with Domino's. I have walked into the broadcast room with Domino's. I've walked into the cafe with Domino's.
You're saying you walked into those rooms and smelled it.
Yes, it seems that... Yes, I've smelled it. It seems that no matter what room I've walked into, there has been a point where there has been Domino's pizza left for almost...
Multiple hours.
Yeah, like 12 to 18 hours.
Yeah. Here's my thing, and I don't feel like this is too much to ask. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right. I may be out of line, and I'm working on me.
Yeah. I love that.
I don't want to walk into the office and feel Domino's air with my eyes.
Golly, y'all are grossing me out.
I don't want that for me.
That's
or anybody, but mostly for me.
That's fair. And I think we can all agree there's because you mentioned that it happens in the office.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in the broadcast room. Mm-hmm. It happens in the cafe where mm-hmm. Domino's is left
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's only one staff member who
I want to emphasize the point one more time. I know you said you were getting grossed out.
Yeah.
It's to the point where if we ever were worried about vampires, like...
We shouldn't be.
Garlic is just everywhere.
It's everywhere. Hot, smelly garlic salt crust.
We have a uniform scent that we have in our plug-in air fresheners across the church. It is a uniform scent. And that scent is not Domino's pizza, but you wouldn't know it walking in some of the rooms of
this church.
It's
getting to the point where visitors are walking in and smelling Domino's in the air.
Yep.
And I think that this staff member, maybe we just need to have him on the show to justify his behavior. Maybe that's something we can do,
I don't know,
at a later date.
Maybe.
But I feel in my heart of hearts as though this can't continue.
We got to segue out of this.
We got to segue out of
this. I'm getting both nauseated and angry.
Let's get this person on the show later this week, and maybe they can redeem themselves.
Let's see what happens.
Let's do that.
Stay tuned for more. If you have a coworker who leaves stinky food all over the place, write in and let us know. Gripe about it with us. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Also, no hate to Domino's. We both love Domino's pizza.
We love Domino's pizza. Y'all are stinky.
In its proper context. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shah's work. And that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David.
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shah is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
One of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shah's website, abadanshah.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We are here in the studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, I wanted to ask you, what's the stinkiest lunch?
Well, I mean, you're talking about chitlins.
I've seen it multiple times, but I have never actually.
I've never had them either. Yeah,
really.
Do you like them?
Yeah, I'll eat them,
but they're stinky.
Oh yeah.
What
do they smell like?
Yeah.
Oh, you really want me to say that on the air?
Well, okay, that tells me. That was my suspicion, but that confirms
we'll talk
it for
about
me.
It a little later.
I was at a friend's cookout.
Uh-huh.
This has been years ago, July the 4th, and his dad loves, eating chitlins. Yeah, yeah. So he fired up the grill and he went to cooking it. And then the wind turned. We were playing volleyball on one end, and the wind turned. And when it did, it was like, oh,
just
my. That,
just hits you like a hand in the face. Like, oh that's
a powerful smell.
It's like, the septic tank is overflowing.
It's in my eyes.
And then we're expected to eat that later. We were talking earlier.
Tastes great, though.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking earlier about, like, Domino's and how, like, it's really great, but then you leave it for a while, and it's like, man, this stinks.
Just
have y'all ever, like, worked in an office where people, like, microwave fish and stuff like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. If you're going to bring that, at least have the courtesy to, like, not drop it in the microwave.
You know where you can really get the best food in America? Baseball stadiums, like sports stadiums.
Yeah.
That has some of the
There's something about a hot dog at a baseball stadium.
I've only ever been to one major league game, but it was by far the best, like, pizza and nachos I ever had in my entire life.
I've never
me sick to my stomach, but it was so good.
I've never been to a major league game, but we had a minor league team that where I grew up in Charleston, not very far from. So we would go see their ball games all the time.
You know, I don't know if y'all know this, but yesterday was actually... had something kind of significant to do with baseball.
It did. Yesterday was the anniversary of the day that Billy Sunday died.
Mm-hmm. Right. Remember the 1935.
1935, exactly. Right. Billy Sunday.
I didn't know he was as prominent of an evangelist as he was. The Billy Sunday was, because I had heard his name as far as, like, being in, you know, baseball's National League in America, but I didn't know about, kind of like with George Foreman as well. I didn't know that he went on to become that famous pastor, or that famous evangelist.
Yeah, yeah. Now, George Foreman never became, or is not as famous in the evangelistic world, I guess you can say, as Billy Sunday became after he left the baseball world. I don't think Billy Sunday was as well known in the baseball world as George Foreman was well known in the boxing world.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But famously, I mean, Billy Sunday, he had a career as a baseball player, major league baseball player, and then he left baseball to go into the ministry, left baseball to be an evangelist.
Yeah, I wonder how something like that happens.
Well, it happened because he got saved. So the story behind it, and just to let you guys know, his home turned into a museum, or was turned into a museum, and in Winona Lake, Indiana. And this was, gosh, I don't know how long back, 2003.
Wow.
20 years ago.
Insane.
Nicole and I went to his home, and here's a pamphlet from that visit.
Wow.
It is in my collectible book.
When did you say you went?
2003,
okay.
It's called Billy Sunday, The Man and His Message. So I had this pamphlet sitting in that book, and I just saw it. And so we went to his home, and which is turned into a museum. Nice little place. People come, and they walk around. It's like the inside of the home is just like we have wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's covered in burlap sack.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, that was the style.
Wow.
So they maintained the style. I don't know if they still have it 20 years later.
Wow.
But like burlap sack on the walls?
Yes.
Okay.
So he was born William Ashley Sunday in Iowa. And his father died sort of early in his life when he was just 4 months of age. Mm-hmm. And then his mother remarried, but her second husband ended up leaving her. And so she sent Billy and her older brother to an orphanage because she couldn't take care of them. He was, because maybe his upbringing, maybe all the tragedy that he went through in his life, but he began to live just a wayward life. In fact, in Chicago, they had the Pacific Garden Mission. They would go out and witness to people, and guess where they found Billy Sunday? He was in the gutter.
Really?
He was in the gutter.
Things had gotten that bad?
That bad that he fell in a gutter because of, just drunk.
Wow.
I mean, that literally would happen. People would be this filthy, nasty.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And they shared the gospel with him, and he responded. And in that response, there was a conversion. And his teammates, his friends, family began to see that there's a big change in his life. He began to attend a church, Jefferson Park Presbyterian Church, and later on he married Helena Thompson.
Mm.
And then a few years later, he ended his baseball career. This is 1891. He's done with it, and he joins the YMCA. So I'm proud to say that because I am a board member of the YMCA here in town. And that's where he learned his ability to share the gospel and things like that.
Would you say he was one of the best, like evangelists or?
Well,
was he a preacher, I guess?
No, he was an evangelist.
Okay.
He was an evangelist. So, you know, throughout our history, especially in the past 200 years, there is this invisible line of descent. So if you go back into the 1860s, you have the Sam Jones. You know, Sam Jones was a tremendous evangelist. He had a way with words, and we went to his home too, up near Dawsonville, I believe it is. I may be wrong, not Dawsonville. This is near Dahlonega, that area. So maybe it's Dawsonville. I don't know. And then you have D.L. Moody. And they sort of learned from each other, not like they grew up together or they spent time, but they just learned the mannerisms of how evangelists operate and how they speak, how they preach.
Yeah.
Then you come to people like Billy Sunday, and then you come through Billy Sunday to somebody like Billy Graham down to our day.
So you see that each one is kind of building on the practices.
The
ones that came before.
In certain convictions, what should you hit on? What should you leave alone? What is something that you are to do as an evangelist to win that person? And then you get them plugged into a church. That mindset, maybe it was there before, but really in the last part of the 19th century, definitely the 20th century. Today, I don't know. I think the whole idea of being an evangelist is sort of waning.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, how many evangelists do you hear about?
Yeah, that's true.
I personally believe, and this is just me, that it is an important office in the church. You have pastors, you have teachers, also evangelists. You know, some he's given to be evangelists. And I think people like this, they just have the ability to share the gospel, to explain it in a way that the common person can understand without getting into too many details of theology or some intricate point like what I do, right? Apologetics. Now, evangelists may do some apologetics, but they're not as geared towards that.
That's a good point that you're bringing up, because I had never thought about it like that. Like with a pastor, I've had 10 years to sit under your preaching, learn your style, learn your methodological approach, I guess.
Yeah.
Learn how you interpret the Bible and how you do your exegesis. I've had time, almost a decade now, to learn you and your style. With an evangelist, they may have, what, one or two events in a city?
Depends. I mean, back in the day, they would be there like 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, 1 week, something like that, yeah.
But I guess the point that you're making is they have to really be discerning on what they preach, what they hit on and what they don't, because they have a very limited window to really make a big impact in the city.
Yeah, like Nicole sort of got saved under the preaching of Bailey Smith. He was an evangelist, Southern Baptist evangelist, and reached a lot of people with the gospel. And his famous sermon was The Wheat and Tares. And I think Nicole got saved under that message.
Wow.
So, and again, you can take issue with every one of them. Even Billy Graham, you can say, well, you know, you have this sugar stick sermon, or you have this favorite little sermon in your backpack that you bring it out, and you bring it out, and you bring it out, and you have thousands get saved under that message. So people criticize them, but I think they still have a place.
Yeah.
And and unfortunately, a lot of bad rap has come from the not so good televangelists.
That's true. Yeah. When people hear the word evangelist, their minds can maybe go a very different direction with the bad models that we've seen.
Yeah.
Especially on TV, personalities like that. Where did that model sort of creep in?
If this was the
history of the evangelist, how did we get to something very different?
Because that's a great point. Is it only with the coming of television now and being able to ask for those funds from all over the world that people sort of get this mind, or do you think people felt this way about evangelists back before television?
Oh no, it was happening before that.
Okay,
so before TV, you also had radio. So you had Fuller out there at Fuller, you know, Fuller Theological Seminary was founded by the evangelist Fuller. Then there's also what's the one in Oklahoma? Oral Roberts. You know, these are evangelists. Okay, but they had certain you know, charismatic leanings, right, some of them had. And then from there, you went into the health and wealth type evangelist.
Yeah.
And from there, it went downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So radio also had the, you know, send me money type, right, evangelist.
Right.
And some had a legitimate point. Mm-hmm. Send me money so I can go win the lost world.
Right.
If you believe in this cause, please send money. So there is a place to do that. We do that from this, mm-hmm, show.
That's true.
Hey, mm-hmm, if you believe in this, if God's leading you, please give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will definitely put it to right use.
That's right.
But then there's also others who got in on the prophets, mm-hmm, and said, we're going to use it to buy big homes, big castles.
Big planes.
Big, yeah, planes.
Private jets.
Private, yeah, jets and, you know, their own yachts and, mm-hmm, all that. Mm-hmm. And that's where the world saw that and said, I want that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have these rock star, rap stars who have their lifestyle. I want that lifestyle. If I listen to their music, I have this.
Mm-hmm.
If I listen to their preaching, I'll have this.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And it just sort of went downhill. But Billy Sunday, I mean, he was very conservative. I mean, they used to call them fundamentalists, mm, back in the day, against the liberalism of the time. And he just had a way with words. I want to read some quotes by, yeah, Billy Sunday,
yeah,
if that's okay,
absolutely,
with you. By the way, before we go further, throughout his life, he preached close to 20,000 sermons.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, 20,000 sermons.
Wow.
Preaching as many as 20 times a week.
Whew.
Now, tell me that doesn't wear you out.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, how many you preach?
Yeah, that comes out to about 3 sermons a day.
Yeah, you preach four, maybe let's say 5 times a week if, yeah, you have, if you're, uh-huh, going and doing other stuff. Or,
yeah,
maybe at most you'd preach like 15, yeah, times a week if it's like a huge, huge travel week.
Yeah, but 20 times a week?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Every week.
Every week. You know? And again, their level of preaching may be different, but still it's a lot. And then he finally had a heart attack. His doctor told him, go get some rest. So here's some quotes by Billy Sunday. Here's one. And I'm getting this from this book called The Man and His Message. This book came out in 1914 while he was still living,
wow,
by the way. This book. So this book doesn't talk about his death, as you can imagine. So he is still a famous man out there doing his thing, written by William T. Ellis. And this book came out in 1914. But anyways, here's one quotation by him. Very simple. I want to be a giant for God.
Wow. Mm. What? If only we all had that mindset.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's, yeah, another one. If you want to drive the devil out of the world, hit him with a cradle instead of a crutch.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that.
Means that's go young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get chesty over success. I don't know if anybody says that anymore.
I don't really think about chesty people.
Yeah, like your chest puffed out.
Yeah, like big barrel chested, yeah, successful guys, I guess.
You've got to sign your own Declaration of Independence before you can celebrate your 4th of July victory.
Fair.
Mm.
Fair.
It is not necessary to be in a big place to do big things.
That's true. Hey,
yeah,
we've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Faith is the beginning of something of which you can't see the end, but in which you believe.
Mm.
I agree with this,
yeah,
sir.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Here's one more. Let's quit fiddling with religion and do something to bring the world to Christ.
Wow.
I like that because we tend to think that this whole religion separate from Christianity thing is something that's happened in the past like 15 something years, like, right, with viral video.
Mm-mm.
I remember that viral video that slam poet guy that was "Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus." And we're like, oh, wow, that dude's on it. He's, yeah, discovered something. It's like, yeah, Billy Sunday said that in 1914.
Concept. Yeah.
And if you go further back, Sam Jones has said pretty much all of those things.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And everybody steals from each other.
Yeah, probably from stealing Sam Jones. From Billy Sunday, yeah, and putting in like this new hip urban candy coated rapping.
No, in that vein, some preachers need the cushions of their chairs upholstered often than they need their shoes half soled.
Oh.
Wow.
It means they spend their time sitting and
sitting rather than going and doing ministry.
What is it you always say? Let's stop sitting on our blessed assurance. Yeah. Out there.
I didn't come up with that. Somebody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think it's funny. That.
That's pretty funny.
Let me see one more.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Oh, look. This is, and he was known for almost playing baseball while he preached. I mean, he was very animated.
Mm.
Like the early Billy Graham was very animated. And he was getting it from Billy Sunday.
I want to show you. I want to show you because I was sitting here looking at stuff about Billy Sunday. I want to show you a picture, but if you find another quote, I found a picture of Billy Sunday that I kind of liked.
Yeah, here's one of the one. I'm an old-fashioned preacher of the old-time religion that has warmed the cold heart world's heart for 2,000 years.
Wow,
I love that.
Just a way with words that makes people like captivated. We want to listen.
That's
standing
that's
up
him.
On
wow.
top of the desk, yeah, standing up on top of the pulpit. And...
You know, even our church, this church, mm-hmm. when it was Tabernacle Baptist mm-hmm. Church, mm-hmm. We had an evangelist who would come here, uh-huh. Oliver B. Green,
uh-huh.
and he would do things like that.
Really?
A.W. Eichert, who was a founding pastor, who was a friend of that evangelist. And you've probably seen his book, Oliver B. Green's Commentaries on the Bible.
Probably.
He was instrumental in founding this church.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah.
That's insane.
And you find it in homes all over Vance County, Granville County, wow. Franklin County, because this is where he came and did a lot of meetings.
Wow.
And Billy Sunday also, at the end of his career, he was scandal-free. Like, there was never any...
His wife really was the reason for his success.
Really?
She helped him, especially with his vocabulary, because he was just, not filthy, but he was just very, very street talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she helped him straighten that up. She would plan out his schedule. She would help with the advertising and the campaigns and all that.
That's awesome.
If she wasn't there, just like old Oswald Chambers,
mm-hmm.
if his wife Biddy wasn't there, he wouldn't have. The success he did.
Would have been a very different story.
I mean, we would have never come across Matmos for his highest.
Yeah.
Wow.
If his wife hadn't put all his sayings together.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is about Billy Sunday.
Yeah.
One more?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding is opening the door and inviting him in.
Mm.
Very true.
What, I guess, Dr. Shah, as we wrap up today, what is, if you could sum up Billy Sunday's life and his ministry and what he was kind of all about, what's one takeaway that you have from learning about him?
Just the passion that he had for the gospel. I hope pastors, no matter how rich you are exegetically and how much of an expository preacher that you claim to be, and I hope you are, because mm-hmm. digging into the text is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching the people the word of God, getting into the context, the historical, the grammatical meaning and the theological application, getting all of that and bringing it down to the level that people can understand and apply to their daily lives, building big ministries and you know, getting small groups going and getting the worship strong and getting the men's ministry and the women's ministry and the children's ministry going. I hope in all of that, don't lose the fire of an evangelist.
Mm.
Don't ever lose that. Hey, if you were to die tonight, where would you be?
Yeah.
If God is calling you right now, you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart, come to Him. Don't wait. You may not have a chance tomorrow to do this. Do it now. Do it before you leave this place. I hope all pastors have that. And I always do a check on myself to make sure I don't lose that fire of an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
Even though if I'm not called to the task or the office of an evangelist, I still believe in their work. I just thank God for somebody like Billy Graham who set up that code for evangelists. Mm-hmm. You know, this is back in Amsterdam back in the 80s. But I support them. And at the same time, I pray that all of us will be somewhat of an evangelist.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if you have questions or suggestions for new topics, make sure you text us and let us know at 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll all the way to the bottom, click that donate button, and become part of our Clearview Today Show family by supporting what God is doing through our show. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Tomorrow we are talking about one of the most famous, well-loved, I know Dr. Shah, I know you love this play. It's one of the most famous ones of all time. It's the autobiographical Life with Father by Mr. Clarence Day.
Mm.
I don't think he wrote the play, but I know you were talking to me about this book. This is one of your favorites of all time.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I can't wait to dive into that. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clear Read Today.